Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this place where we can gather together on joy-filled days and on sorrow-filled days, knowing that you are with us and loving us and guiding us. For the gift of this day, Lord, let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the sunshine, we give you thanks. Sometimes the clouds get so dark and ominous that we forget that the sun, S-U-N and S-O-N, are right there at all times. If we stop just long enough to look and to listen. Thank you for the gift of forgiveness, Lord, that every morning we get a chance for a do-over, a time to change our minds and our hearts to live our lives according to your word. For all the love in the world, we know that the darkness will never, ever overcome it, because you are the light. Help us to follow our baptismal call to let our light shine so brightly before others that they will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So who here has been here, like me, long enough to remember when Pastor Paul Youngdahl would have us all stand up and shake each other's hands? Does anybody remember that? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to do it, because I remember I always thought, oh, my hands are sweaty, and oh, I don't really don't want to do that. So instead, look to the person sitting on your left and say, hi, neighbor. And then look to the person sitting on your right and say, hi, neighbor. Awesome. So a lawyer asked Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment is in the law is the greatest? Jesus answered him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So my parents loved traveling to Mexico when my brothers and I were little. They came home and they were all tanned and beautiful, carrying exotic gifts for us like handmade wooden ships and puppets, lacy white dresses, and small woven dolls. And when we were finally old enough to go with them, we marveled at the ocean and the beautiful brown-skinned people who spoke a language that we had never heard before. Remember, back then, Minnesota was cream of chicken soup, and ethnic meant a pound of hamburger with a packet of taco seasoning with white iceberg lettuce and out-of-season also white tomatoes. So Mexico and her people seemed like something out of a colorful fairy tale. It was all so intriguing to me that when junior high came along and with it the opportunity to study Spanish, I jumped at the chance. And in high school, when I saw a poster for a foreign exchange program called AFS, I signed up. And back then, your only option and where you were heading was to check either Northern Hemisphere or Southern Hemisphere. And since I spoke Spanish and all, or so I thought, I checked the Southern Hemisphere box and waited. when I received a letter in the mail that said I had been accepted and was heading to La Paz, Bolivia, it felt like I'd found the golden ticket to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. With the exception of one little tiny problem, and that being I hadn't the slightest idea where La Paz, Bolivia was. In fact, I'm pretty sure I hadn't even heard of it. So, young people, remember, this was back in 1979 in the year of our Lord, pre-internet, pre-Google, pre-texting. So the only way I had to learn anything about this place that I was headed was to go to my parents' den and to walk up to the stack of Encyclopedia Britannicas. Good job, you guys. So I pulled out the B volume, and I quickly turned to where it said Bolivia, and the only thing I remember about that it was one paragraph long, so I learned one paragraph about this place that I was going for the next 3 months, and that they ate as their main food source guinea pig. So I was a 17, not even yet, at that point, a 16-year-old girl, and the thought that I was going to eat guinea pig for the whole summer was a little bit more than I could bear. And then that summer, I hopped on a plane the day after my 17th birthday and landed on the doorstep of a Bolivian family that I had never so much as spoken a word with. And you know that Spanish that I thought I knew so well? Well, not so much. I remember walking around the whole summer saying, oh, estoy muy embarazada, which I thought meant I'm so embarrassed at my language skills, but instead I was saying, ah, I'm so pregnant. Not a great look on a just turned 17-year-old. This led to a Spanish major at Gustavus, to working as an interpreter in Chicago, to many, many years of working alongside Latina people on factory floors, in restaurants throughout Mexico, and later with Latina pastors, marrying couples and baptizing beautiful babies all throughout Guatemala. Our sons attended Park Spanish Immersion School, and their Latina teachers loved them like they were their own. And all this to say that my life has been greatly enriched by the love shown to me and my family by the hard-working, family-oriented, Christ-centered, welcoming people of Latin America. And what is happening to them right now breaks my heart. Our gospel lesson this morning takes place at a healing pool in Jerusalem. As Pastor Grangard read, blind and lame and paralyzed people flocked to these pools in Jerusalem in the hope that they just might be healed. One man who had been lying there this particular day had been ill for 38 years. Jesus saw him and asked him, "Don't you want to be healed?" And the man answered, "Well, yes, of course, but I don't have anyone to lift me into those healing waters, and everyone else rushes past me trying to get them there themselves. So I can't get there on my own." So there he remained, longing for freedom but unable to do it himself. He needed help. Jesus said, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." And so he did. Witnessing this miracle, you can imagine the rejoicing that must have taken place that day. That everyone at the healing pool would be so happy for this man, that they would be filled with joy and hope and love and praising Jesus, right? Well, no, not so much. The authorities instead scolded him. "Hey, it's the Sabbath. You can't pick up your mat today. It is against the rules. You're breaking the law." Worried at the price he would pay, he said, "But the man who healed me told me to pick up my mat." "Who told you you could do that?" they cried. The man looked around, but Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. When the authorities found out that Jesus broke the law to help the man, they began persecuting him. Jesus chose helping a human being in need over following the letter of the law. Pikau nefesh dohe Shabbat, rescuing a life in danger, takes precedence over the Sabbath. It's been a rough couple of months here at home. So much anger and fear wreaking havoc on our beloved community. Does anyone remember the old anti-littering commercial from way back in 1971? Where an American Indian is looking over a massive garbage dump. He sits regally on his horse, a tear rolling slowly down his face. I imagine that would be Jesus in our city today, seeing what's happening to his children, a tear running down his face. "Hey, you can't heal him today." Jesus chose to follow his law, his Father's law. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We are so blessed here at our church home. Our kids grow up learning that God created everyone in God's image. And when they head out into the world carrying God's message of love and of grace, they are welcomed all over the world. Germany and Scandinavia, Thailand, Italy, the Holy Land. We've been loved up Mount Olivet, ladies, while walking miles through the Spanish countryside. We've taken groups of our kids to Cape Town, South Africa, where we were welcomed with loving arms who led us in worship and singing and dancing and praising our Lord. We've had groups floating down the back rivers of Guatemala in canoes, been welcomed into villages where the people that live there slept outside in the forests so that we could take over their huts and sleep in their huts, in their beds, sheltered from the rain. We have walked through Guatemala and been fed food that they could not afford to give away, and yet they gave it to us. Right now, as we speak, there are Mount Olivet kids all over the world, studying abroad, all sharing God's love and grace, all reaping the benefits of strangers in foreign lands following God's commandment to love your neighbors as yourself. It's been tough out there, most especially for our beloved immigrant community. Thank you for being God's light in the world. Thank you for feeding the hungry. Thank you for clothing the naked. Thank you for welcoming the stranger and for being the people who, around the healing pool that day in Jerusalem so long ago, when seeing Jesus' miracle, like Jesus, would choose to rejoice, to be grateful, and to give thanks for the miracle of God's great love for every single one of us. Amen.